Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There is no other solution for American cities. The only cities that have actually shifted people from private cars back into public transit are cities that built bus rapid transit.
Bus rapid transit. Walter Hook there, executive director of the Institute for Transportation and Development Policy, who has helped design bus rapid transit systems around the world. And you may recognize that clip from a report that WNYC's Andrea Bernstein did this morning on New York's push to create more and more bus rapid transit systems throughout the five boroughs. Andrea has been doing a series of stories for the station on so-called BRT, and she joins us briefly now, and then in a minute we'll talk to the New York City Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadiq Khan. So, Andrea, why did you choose to do a series on this?
Well, the moment seemed right. I mean, we have, how quickly we forget, but we did just spend 6 months talking about, was the MTA going to have to cut service and raise fares? There's this huge question about the Second Avenue subway, whether it's going to get built, how New York can expand capacity. And while there's been all this attention on building new train systems and extending the train lines in New York, around the world they are putting in these bus rapid transit systems, which are not just express buses, but actually systems that operate like trains but on rubber wheels. And they're working in a lot of places. And so we decided to take a look at where it's worked, where it hasn't worked, why it hasn't worked. The country is also about to learn whether there's going to be a lot of money for mass transit, because there's this huge transportation reauthorization bill that is about to be introduced in Congress. And it just seemed like the right moment to ask the question, in this economic downturn, as people are getting squeezed, is there another way that people should be looking about expanding transit opportunities?
And the East River, Harlem River bridge tolls that were not enacted under the Ravitch plan were supposed to be dedicated to developing bus rapid transit in the boroughs in New York City. But just give me one quick example before we bring the commissioner on of a city where it has worked well and a city where it hasn't worked well.
Well, the most famous city where it's worked and that we did a story on, and you can find, by the way, all the stories in this series on WNYC.org, is Bogota, Colombia, which put in this extensive bus rapid transit system. It is like a surface train system all around the city. People use it all the time. Its big problem is overcrowding. Where it maybe hasn't worked so well is L.A., and I actually talked to the supervisor of buses there. They have a line that goes through the San Fernando Valley, and while it does deliver much faster service, they haven't figured out how to get Angelenos out of their cars and into public transportation.
Why did it work in Bogota?
It worked in Bogota because it was extremely extensive, and it was really nice. And so it really got people where they want to go. It gets them there faster than cars. Cars can be stuck in traffic jams, and buses can be moving. And there's a whole system. In L.A., there's just this one line that doesn't really connect all that well to the rest of the mass transit system there.
So bus rapid transit, we're going to ask the commissioner if it really can be rapid in a city like New York. But Andrea Bernstein, WNYC reporter who's been looking at bus rapid transit all around the world, thank you. There's a special page on our website that highlights all her pieces, as well as some slideshows where you can see pictures of BRT systems. We have linked it right to our show page, so you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And now we do bring in Jeanette Sadiq Khan, Transportation Commissioner for the City of New York. Commissioner Sadiq Khan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brian.
You know, today we think of buses as slow, almost by definition, especially, mm-hmm. especially if you ride the M23. But how rapid can bus rapid transit be?
Well, we've got, as you noted, bus speeds are notoriously slow in the city, and Strap Hangers even puts out the annual Pokey Awards. And in many areas of the city, you can walk across town faster than you can take the bus. And so what we're starting to see is a decline in ridership along critical routes. And so what we're trying to do is manage our streets more efficiently. And when you think about it, we've got 6,000 miles of streets, which I like to think of as the rails for the city's bus system. So what we're trying to do is make them more efficient and prioritize buses throughout the network so we can get people where they need to go faster.
That's important. Prioritize buses. And Andrew, you referred to the cars and the buses actually having different speeds, and it sounded like different rules. So would the cars and the buses actually operate under different rules of the road?
Yeah, what we're doing is, much like we've done up in the Bronx, our first quick and dirty BRT on the BX-12, we put off-board fare collection in place, which is responsible for about a third of the delay in buses, and we literally gave buses the green light longer. So whenever a bus came up to an intersection, it got the green light, and we held the green light longer for buses. And we have different-looking buses, and people were able to board in the front and the back doors of the bus, and we're looking to expand on that in our next wave of projects. And so we will have dedicated lanes, which are marked off so that buses really are given the red carpet when they roll down these new bus lanes.
And, you know, that's pretty good. I actually live along that line, and I take that bus. And some people find it a big pain that you have to swipe your Metro card in a machine at the bus stop before the bus arrives and get this little receipt. But I see that it does go faster than the regular BX-12, but not that much faster. I think your estimate is about 11%.
Well, it's actually about 20% reduction in travel time, and we just did a survey, and 98% of riders said they were satisfied or very satisfied with the service, which is sort of unheard of, 98% approval rating of New Yorkers. So it may seem like it's a little bit, but we think it's an improvement, and we're looking to expand on that.
So if that's a start, how radically do we need to reconfigure our roads to really expand on it in a meaningful way? I've heard things like devoting two lanes of major streets and avenues to buses only. Is that what it would take?
Well, we really do need to have dedicated rights of way. If we're really going to create a surface subway system for buses, then that's what we need to have dedicated running ways so that cars don't get into that lane, and you really do create a service that is a premium service and really speeds people to where they need to go. And that's what we're looking at in our next phase of projects. We've got the first phase of projects, which are looking at 5 routes, Fordham Road, which I mentioned, which launched in June, 34th Street. We made short-term improvements this past September, and we've got longer-term plans for that corridor. And we've got up-and-coming lines on 1st and 2nd Avenue in Manhattan and Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn and Highland Boulevard in Staten Island, and those will be done over the next couple of years. I think it's important to take a look at 1st and 2nd Avenue, which we'll have done by June of next year, and it's the busiest single bus route in the city. It carries some 60,000 passengers a day. So we think that it'll help a lot of travelers reach their destinations faster, and it will go all the way from 125th Street in Harlem to the South Ferry Terminal in Lower Manhattan. So again, we're focusing on areas that are overcrowded, and then down the line, for really fully built-out BRT, the kind that Walter Hook mentioned in his earlier piece, we're looking for a fully built-out, dedicated system, and we're actually in the process of asking New Yorkers to help us shape that next generation of BRT.
All right. Listeners, we have about 5 minutes for your reactions to this idea. Now that you've heard an introduction to it, you can post on our comments page, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can do that anytime. Or you can call in right away and tell, are you ready to devote two lanes to the buses on 1st Avenue and 2nd Avenue, if that's what it would take? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do you think? First blush. If you haven't followed this before, bus rapid transit, as we talked to the City Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadi Khan. And here's a comment, Commissioner, that came in on our webpage. It says, I know Portland, Oregon is smaller, but they have moved towards streetcars and light rails. Isn't BRT more expensive? Streetcars and light rails would only require the building of tracks and the shelters.
No, actually, Brian, although I'm a huge fan of streetcars and light rail, I mean, I think they are wonderful solutions to different aspects of congestion. Streetcars are really used to move people around in a central business district, and it's been terrific in Portland. They've leveraged some $3 billion worth of economic benefits associated with the investment there. And light rail is also expensive. But for us, you know, when we're looking at 2nd Avenue, it's a very cost-effective way to make an immediate improvement in the city's transportation system. Building subways takes time and money, and these improvements on BRT can be delivered really cost-effectively. and particularly because they generate cost savings by improving bus speeds and attracting more customers. So we think that, you know, every city is different, and these solutions are tailored to meet the unique needs of New Yorkers.
Can you tell me how the magic dust works on the BX12? I guess you give drivers some kind of magic dust so that they can actually make the lights stay green longer?
Well, it's technology dust, Brian. And what we do is there's a transponder on the top of the bus, which is linked to the traffic signal. And when the signal sees the bus coming toward the intersection, it will give that bus the green light or hold the green light longer so that the bus can get through the intersection. So that's the pixie dust we're using these days.
Is that going to be controversial if it becomes more widespread, where, you know, drivers will feel they're holding the short end of the stick if they're going the other way?
No, we're really doing these in congested corridors where it really makes sense. We're in the process of upgrading all the traffic control signal technology across the city so that we can put transit signal priority technology and implement it all throughout the city. So for a variety of different treatments, it may be to prioritize left turns for drivers. It may be to prioritize buses coming through intersections. Again, it would be tailored to meet the needs of the network.
I guess you can't buy these on the open market, right? I mean, Andrea profiled in one of her pieces this very frustrated driver in the Bronx going across Fordham Road who kept hitting red light after red light after red light. You know, I could see, like they have the police radar detectors. Now the transponder black market will start, and you'll have transponder wars at Fordham Road and Jerome Avenue.
Well, New Yorkers are nothing if not creative.
Garcia in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Real quick.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that could work in the metropolitan area of Puerto Rico is that they have the buses, a bus lane that goes against the normal traffic, and the buses do go a lot faster, and that might be a possibility.
The buses go in the opposite direction of the cars?
The normal traffic. So let's say on First Avenue, the bus would be coming downtown.
Huh. You ever study that, Commissioner? Do you know that?
Yeah, we've had that in different spots in the city at different points in time. There are real safety issues associated with counterflow lanes. People are used to traffic going, you know, they see traffic going one way and then they're surprised by a vehicle moving in the other direction. So we've been reluctant to move forward with that for safety reasons mostly.
Gary in Jersey City. Hi, real quick.
Hi. Can bikes share the BRT lanes?
Actually, that's what we're looking at on 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Bikes. Now, how would that work? The bikes would ride in the same lane? Would there be a dedicated bike lane?
No, we're looking at a shared lane option. Again, we're still in the early stages of that, but we are exploring that possibility because actually the bike network itself doesn't have a lot of connectivity on the east side of Manhattan. So since we're building out this backbone to make it easier for people to get around by bus or by bike, we're trying to fill in the gaps, and that's one that we're looking at on the east side.
All right. Well, since somebody brought up bicycles and you brought up pedestrians, before you go, we want to ask you about a series we're doing this month on the show, which we're going to have next hour, as a matter of fact, on the unwritten rules of getting around New York City, transportation etiquette. Last week we did the etiquette on the subways, and boy, did people have a lot to say about that. And you should consider yourself lucky that you're not in charge of the MTA. But today we're talking later in the show about getting around above ground, cars, bikers, and pedestrians. And we're asking people what their unwritten rules of getting around and getting along above ground should be. So do you have any that you want to start this list going with?
Well, I would say really look out for one another on the streets of New York. You really need to respect one another's rights on the road, and that's really what we're trying to do in the city. Under Mayor Bloomberg's leadership, we have traffic fatalities and injuries, the lowest they've been since 1910 when the city first kept records of that. So we really need to do more on that to drive those numbers down even further. We're not resting on our laurels. We need to get people to look out for one another on the streets of New York.
Do you think we need to become more like California, where pedestrians are assumed to have more of the right-of-way than they do here?
I think we're New Yorkers, and what we do is we design our streets and we design our programs to meet the needs of New Yorkers. So we're kind of unique and complex, and we're developing programs that work here, taking a page out of what works other places, but again, adapting it to meet the really local needs of New York.
As far as pedestrians, somebody just posted that Remember, it's a sidewalk, not a side talk on your phone. But, Commissioner, our last 30 seconds, just tell us again real quick the vision of possibilities here. What's coming to First Avenue and Second Avenue?
Well, what we're doing is we're building out what we consider to be the first phase of a surface subway system. And, you know, you can't build subways quick enough to meet the mobility needs of New Yorkers. We can't dig our way out of the problems that our mass transit system faces with overcrowding and rising fares and reduced service. So subways aren't always the final solution for New York. So we're moving forward with BRT.
Right.
And we urge everybody that's interested, we're doing our next hearing tonight at 6:30 at FIT on 7th and West 27th Street at 6:30. So come out and let us know what you think of our plans for BRT looking to the future.
Uh-huh. A public hearing on bus rapid transit with you and others?
The department will be making a presentation on that and soliciting feedback.
Tonight at the Fashion Institute of Technology. I'm sorry, what time?
6:30.
Okay. New York City Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.